Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 16th day of December 2022. I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest. His name is Jeremy Brandenburg, a former Army officer and current pastor of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And today we're going to be addressing Bruce Hunt, early 20th century, second generation Orthodox Presbyterian missionary to Korea. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jeremy Brandenburg.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on, brother. And for the sake of our listeners who have not yet heard anything about Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, why don't you tell us a little bit about that congregation?
We are, as you mentioned, an OPC, Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We're right here, not in downtown, but we're on York Road in Carlisle. We've been at our current building for about going on 8 years, 9 years, and church is growing, praise the Lord. We have robust worship according to Scripture. Anyone who visits us, and many people have said this, and I'm very grateful for it, they'll find a welcoming congregation that loves Christ and, cares about people. So that's Redeemer OPC in short.
Great. And if anybody wants to find out more information about Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to RedeemerOPC.org. That's RedeemerOPC.org. Well, you have requested that our discussion today be on Bruce Hunt. As I've already said in my announcement, he was an early 20th century second-generation Orthodox Presbyterian missionary to Korea. And why don't you tell our listeners why it is that you were so passionate and eager to discuss this brother who not very long ago entered into eternity with Christ.
Right. Yeah. And thanks again for having me on, and in particular having me on to talk about Bruce Hunt and Bruce Hunt, but also missions and outreach and evangelism in general. Because any Bible believing Christian of any stripe knows that it's vital, both personal evangelism and sending missionaries. The Lord says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and that's, you know, I think a perennial truth in the church. And we're supposed to pray. And we always need more missionaries, and that's true now, and that's true for the OPC. So I think it is important to get the word out about Bruce Hunt and his story, because I didn't hear it until I was in seminary. And it's a really compelling story, and I think there's a lot for not just Reformed Christians, but every stripe of Christian to learn from his experience and his example. I'm eager to talk about him because I think it's missions and evangelism and discipleship should be on our radar as individuals and as churches in a very big way. I'll just mention that the OPC, we have missionaries in several countries, and we need missionaries. We're praying as a church for pastors who will be called to go overseas. Thankfully, last year we had at least one answer to prayer. There's a minister from our own presbytery who went to South America, so that was really encouraging, but we need more.
Well, I know that Bruce Hunt was the son of missionaries in Korea. He was born himself in Korea. What can you say? What else can you say to lay the groundwork for this individual who we will be highlighting today?
Yeah, so just by way of introduction, I would say that the two books that I've read, and there's, you know, longer books, of course, that would be equally as beneficial, and especially if you're looking to do some kind of scholarship about the Christianity in Korea. But the two books that kind of are most accessible and tell the story pretty succinctly are the one is published by the OPC. It's called For a Testimony, The Story of Bruce Hunt in Prison for the Gospel. And so if you want to get the concise, Reader's Digest story of Bruce Hunt and his imprisonment and all of that, you want to read that book. And that's actually published by the OPC. The other book that's really good that I wish I had read much earlier in life is published by the Banner of Truth right here in Carlisle. I actually looked it up before the show just to make sure it's still published by the Banner of Truth, and it is. It's on their website, but it's called The Korean Pentecost and the Sufferings Which Followed. And that one is actually written by William Blair and Bruce Hunt, and that for me is definitely on my top 10 books that every Christian should read, and that is, you know, I understand that's giving it a pretty high place, but I think given the time in which we're living, Chris, I think it's, I think in many ways it was a wake-up call to me, but also a great encouragement about the power of Christ, the truth of the gospel, and the need for perseverance. But, so Bruce Hunt, I mean, to just lay the groundwork, I think it would be helpful to talk just briefly about the history of missions in Korea in general.
Sounds good to me.
And I think it's something, again, that I was really, I think it's really fascinating. Of course, the story of the church and the gospel going into any unreached place is incredible and it's miraculous. But the story of the church in Korea, I think what makes it interesting is that it happened, you know, in relatively recent times. There were some Catholics that were in Korea or ministering to Koreans who were in China. Obviously, Korea is a peninsula. It's connected to China. But the first Protestant missionary, his name was Robert Gutzlaff, and he went to Korea in 1832. He was a friend of Robert Morrison, who I'm sure many of your listeners will recognize as the first Protestant missionary to China. And like many missions endeavors at that time, it was kind of linked in with commercial enterprises because, you know, the missionaries, unless you had the resources and the wherewithal of some of these missionary societies, you still needed a way to get into these countries. And so Robert Gutzlaff, he actually was sent by the East India Company in 1832 to explore some of the northern ports of China to see if they were open to British trade. And, you know, they were trying to reach the local government and send messages and requests that, you know, meetings and things like that. And eventually they came to what's known as Chungnam Province today. That's in South Korea, on the western side of the peninsula, and they petitioned the government, and they asked that they would open trade. They sent gifts, and all of that was returned. It was not a successful mission. They were not willing to open up trade. They had to consult with the Chinese. I heard a really interesting lecture from a Korean American pastor about the church in China. And I would, suggest to any of your listeners to get, that's also even better perspective on the Korean church is obviously from a Korean, even a Korean American who's kind of lived the history and understands it personally. But this pastor who was giving the lecture in the Korean church set was explaining how the Koreans have always been leading up to their independence after World War II and the division in North and South Korea. They were always kind of under the control of outside influences in a lot of ways. They talked about the fact that there was no Korean patriotism until the 20th century. But anyway, so Gutzlaff, this German, is the first Protestant missionary, and he's sent by the East India Company. He's on this ship called the Lord Amherst, and it's really mostly unsuccessful. He did distribute some Bibles. He did make contact with some Koreans, but there was no, substantial fruit from his work there. He wasn't able. There were no churches established. But in the book, The Korean Pentecost and the Sufferings Which Followed, there is this really remarkable prayer and testimony from Gutzlaff about his perspective on just getting the word of God into Korea. And he says that I'll read part of what he says. This is his reflections on his short visit to Korea. He said, "In the great plan of eternal God, there will be a time of merciful visitation for them." That's the Koreans. "While we look for this, we ought to be very anxious to hasten its approach by diffusing the glorious doctrines of the cross by all means and power. The scripture teaches us to believe that God can bless even these feeble beginnings. Let us hope that better days will soon dawn for Korea." As you think about that prayer and that reflection in light of everything that followed in Korean history, to me, it's just a tremendous encouragement and speaks to the reality of the power of the gospel and the word of God. Because, that prayer, that desire to see the church flourish and the scriptures be taught was fulfilled, a hundredfold. So that's Gutzlaff. And there was no Protestant missionary in Korea until 33 years. And then, wow. This is a long that's a long period, right, of no missionary activity. And this is a long segue into Bruce Hunt, but I think your audience will find it, especially if you've never heard this story, they'll find it very compelling. So there's Gutzlaff goes, there's then 33 years, there's no Protestant missionary. And then this man, R.J. Thomas, comes along, and he's sent by the London Missionary Society. And he starts off, he reaches Chefoo in China. And as I mentioned earlier, there's Koreans living in China, and that's his first exposure to Koreans, Korean culture, and he becomes persuaded that because of how the Koreans could read the Chinese characters, he becomes persuaded that there was an opening and he could be very useful because he obviously didn't speak Korean at that point, but he knew Chinese. And you also have to understand that Korea was a closed country. Foreigners were not really permitted, and in many cases they were threatened with death if they tried to enter the country. So here comes R.J. Thomas. He's with the London Missionary Society, and he's trying to find whatever way possible to get to the peninsula. And his first attempt, he's able to get a ship, but he only makes it to some islands off the west coast. And then later, on his second attempt, he's permitted to join an American-owned ship called the General Sherman, which I think as Americans, there's definitely some providential irony in the fact that he's on a ship called the General Sherman. But this is a commercial ship. They're doing exploration work. They're going for commercial purposes. They want to establish trade and connections with the government. So this in 1866, this ship, the General Sherman, sets out, and they let R.J. Thomas come on board, and he's got, you know, his bag of his container, his package of Bibles and tracts, and they set out and they cross the Yellow Sea. They start making their way up a major river system in the Korean Peninsula. And this river led to the, one of the largest cities in Korea. And they actually were able to stop. They went ashore. They met the governor there. But something happened that led to, that kind of set off a whole sequence of events. It was like a domino effect that turned out to be very bad for the men on the ship. What happened was, when they stopped and they met the governor, they ended up taking five native Koreans on board. And these men they weren't prisoners per se, but they were basically brought on board and kept on board, and they really didn't like this. And then two of them even died trying to escape. And again, you have to keep in mind, this is a closed country. There is not a lot of interaction with foreigners. And the people in this area became enraged, and they came out by the thousands. And apparently there was rumors spreading that these men had come and they were going to be robbing their tombs. And they were even, this is pretty gruesome, but they were even going to steal the eyes of children to make foreign medicine. So there's some real hostility swelling up, and thousands of people come out against this ship and their crew. And the problem for them, in addition to, on top of the fact they're making the Koreans really mad, was that they had sailed up this portion of the river that was only passable once a month. And the people came out by thousands, and they're lining both banks of the river, and they're firing. They had flintlock rifles back then, and they're firing at the ship. And the crew decides, okay, let's save our skins and let's just get out of here. But by that point, when they had crossed north, going north on the river, they had crossed at the one time a month that it was actually passable, going over these rapids. So on their way back, they obviously didn't realize this, and they ran aground. And so there's this ship, the General Sherman, and all of these crew members. They're stuck there, and the Koreans continued to attack. And they had the crew had some weapons, and they fought back. But then what the Koreans ended up doing, this is really unbelievable. It just shows how hostile they were at that time to outsiders. So the Koreans are trying to destroy these guys, and they set a whole bunch of fishing boats on fire, and they launch these boats down the river at the perfect time, to where they're moving full speed ahead, and there's this whole, like, basically line of boats on fire. The General Sherman catches on fire, and then, of course, all the men start to abandon ship. Well, the crew, there was five Westerners, and the rest were kind of Asian crew members, Chinese and Malaysians, I think. And the crew, as they get to shore, they have weapons, and so they're trying to fight off the Koreans and save their lives. So all these guys are fighting, but there's one man who's not fighting. And there's one man who doesn't have weapons, and that is the missionary, R.J. Thomas. And R.J. Thomas approaches the Koreans, and he doesn't have a gun or a rifle or a sword. He has his arms full of Bibles. And as the Koreans were clubbing him and killing him, even, he thrust the Bibles into their hands and was able to scatter some on the shore. The crew are killed, the ship sinks, and the connection here to Bruce Hunt is that apparently they took, so this is the beginning of mission work in Korea, to give you a sense of how hostile of a place it was. And apparently they took the chain from the anchor of this ship, and they hung part of it on some of the gates at this city where they were. Can you guess, Chris, what city this was in Korea?
Seoul.
And you know what? That's what I would have guessed. But believe it or not, the city that this happened at, that eventually became a hub of the Presbyterian Church and Christian missions was Pyongyang.
Huh.
In what is now North Korea. Isn't that incredible?
Oh yeah.
And actually, one of the so there was Bruce Hunt and his kind of his generation, his era of missionaries, and like you said, he grew up there. He was a boy growing up in what is now. I mean, it's unbelievable to think about this, given what we know about North Korea. But Bruce Hunt, growing up as a boy, would go by this place, these gates in the old city of Pyongyang, and he would see the anchor from this ship hanging there. I think from the Korean perspective, kind of as like a trophy of, you know, don't mess with us. But here is Bruce Hunt, this boy growing up as a missionary kid in Korea, and seeing the work of the gospel and seeing believers come to Christ. And actually, one of the men who preceded Bruce Hunt, who was one of the first to follow after Robert Thomas, was Samuel Moffett. He was a Presbyterian. He was one of the first men to actually take up residence in Pyongyang. And one of his first Korean disciples was the son of a man who received one of the Bibles from R.J. Thomas.
Wow. You mean one of the soldiers that was killing him? The son
right,
of...
Right, one of the Koreans who was... Right, yeah.
So that actually was used of God to bear fruit in salvation. Those very men who were killing him, at least one of them who had the Bible thrust in his arms, began to read it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's the story. And what's also remarkable is, I mean, I don't think these churches exist now, but in the 1950s, there were 27 Presbyterian churches basically along that had sprouted and grown up along this portion of the Taedong River near Pyongyang. And it was actually, they actually built a memorial chapel to R.J. Thomas.
Wow. Well, we have to go to our first station break right now. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. I want to remind my guest, Pastor Jeremy, to mute himself. And if anybody sends in a question, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeremy Brandenburg right after these messages.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, that RoyalDiadem.com is offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits for a limited time to from any sale they make to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. If you purchase jewelry for $100 or more, let's say you purchase a piece of jewelry they already have in stock on their website, royaldiadem.com, or for a much more expensive purchase, if you have something custom designed, like an engagement ring, or turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, into a piece of jewelry, like a pendant for a necklace or a ring or any other kind of piece of jewelry or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up that you want turned into a custom designed piece of jewelry. If you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from this purchase. So please, with Christmas coming up, with Valentine's Day coming up, contact royaldiadem.com today and either make a purchase of something they already have in stock or get the ball rolling with a custom design piece. So this way you not only bless yourself and bless anyone for whom you are purchasing a piece of jewelry as a gift, but you're also blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We don't know when the cutoff date is for this offer to us, but we know it's going to be extending through at least early in the new year. So please try to make your purchase as quickly as possible so that we can benefit from it with 100% of the profits coming to us. That's royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Jeremy Brandenburg, pastor of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We are discussing Bruce Hunt, early 20th century second-generation Orthodox Presbyterian missionary to Korea. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And we already have a couple of people who have written to us about today's program. They're not questions, they're just comments. Alex in Goldenrod, Florida, said that he just read the book about his life, and of course his is referring to Bruce Hunt, and he's looking forward to hearing the rest of the program. And we also got an email from Pastor John Yenshko, who is a PCA pastor out on Long Island, New York. He is the pastor of the North Shore Community Church in the Oyster Bay area of Long Island, New York. And he said that he had the privilege of meeting this great man of God, Bruce Hunt. He says, when I was a pastor at New Life Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, Bruce Hunt often came to worship with us. It was always a joy to have him with us. He came with his daughter, Connie Stonehouse. Thanks for the nice memory. So I just thought I'd encourage you with both of those emails, Pastor Jeremy. And so tell us how it is that Bruce Hunt himself, after being raised in Korea by missionary parents, do we know of a point in time in his life when he said to himself, I have to pick up the mantle for my parents and continue their labors for the glory of Christ here in Korea, because obviously the children of pastors and missionaries don't always want to follow in their parents' footsteps. Sometimes they want to remove themselves as far away from that activity as possible. And that doesn't even necessarily mean that they're not Christians when they have that mindset. They just don't feel a calling to do that. But if you could, tell us about Bruce Hunt's story in that regard.
Yeah, that is a really good question. And if I can, if we can hold that question, I will speak directly to that when I get to sort of the climax of the story as I would like to tell it today.
Okay, we'll pick up where you would like to begin.
Yeah, because it's tied to he actually ends up sharing his testimony in a very powerful way, and he speaks to that in the book. But I gave a very short synopsis of Protestant missions, and it's a little bit of a point of humble pride if we can boast in the Lord that the Korean church is very strong. There's a large number of Koreans who are Christians, and the Korean Presbyterian Church is also really strong. And part of that is because apparently at the outset of missions in Korea, it was primarily Methodists and Presbyterians. And Bruce Hunt, his family, and the Moffitts and others were part of this group of missionaries working in, you know, what I've tried to describe as pretty tough terrain. The one thing I can't go into detail about that I would just point your audience to is, you know, this is another thing that I did not know about Korea and the Korean church, but I think I haven't studied revivals in the 20th century, but I would I'd be pretty confident to say that the greatest, at least one of the greatest revivals of the 20th century actually occurred in Korea, and not just in Korea, but in Pyongyang. And it happened in 1907. And the men that wrote this, the one book that I referenced, William Blair and Bruce Hunt were a part of that. And it's really an incredible story. I was even rereading it before I came on the show today. And yeah, it will. If that doesn't stir your soul, then you should go talk to your pastor or your elders. or talk to Chris Arnton. But anyway, so to give you a little bit of background, the Korean church is you know, it's growing. There's missionaries there. Bruce Hunt is one of them. He grew up there. So fast forward from, we're talking about the early 1900s, now fast forward to 1941. And obviously this is, you know, the World War II has begun in Europe. Nazi Germany has invaded Poland. So there's already conflict in other parts of the globe. And Bruce Hunt and his family are living in Harbin. It was then part of the independent area of Manchuria. And it was under the control of Japan. Japan was occupying. There was the war between China and Japan in the early 20th century, and Japan is controlling that part of the country. So in many ways, you know, Bruce Hunt had seen and experienced some pretty incredible things growing up in Korea, I think. But in many ways, his life as a missionary was, you know, pretty ordinary Christian service, I think, in many respects. It's ironic. I thought it was really interesting that reading the story now, I read it in seminary, but now reading it as a pastor of a Presbyterian church, the way that the authorities actually went about kind of tracking down the church and tracking down Bruce Hunt and others was they used their records, their sessional records of, you know, church decisions and membership and baptism and all of that. So we think those things are really boring, and we pity and feel bad for the men who have to serve as the clerk of the session or, you know, do those kind of very administrative things, but they can end up playing a big part. So here you have this family, Bruce Hunt. He's, you know, he's a missionary, he's serving, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's discipling, and he's in Manchuria, ministering to the Korean-speaking population there. But anyway, so it's fast forward to October 1941, and this is Korea, so it's pretty cold, even in October. And the Hunt family is in their home around the dinner table. At this point, they had you know, some folks who were working in the household with them. They had a Russian nanny, and there's a knock at the door, and the nanny goes to the door, and it's the police. And the police come in, and they basically, you know, say a few things, but it becomes clear to Bruce Hunt that he's being arrested. And so he and his wife begin to get their things together. There were some other missionaries across the street, Roy and Bertha Byram, who were also basically being served a warrant and being told that they were being arrested. And, you know, it's sinking in for him that, okay, this is happening. There were some, you know, there were indications that things were getting, they were getting more scrutiny. They were coming under more scrutiny from the government, and there was more opposition. He had been in conversation with the police before. In fact, one of the officers was named Officer Pak, and he was basically a friend of the family. They knew him pretty well. But the police are there, and they come in, and they're arresting Bruce Hunt. Well, I think it's a testimony to Bruce Hunt's character as a Christian man and as a father and a husband, and I'll mention this, I think your audience will appreciate this. So he's getting arrested. He's going to go off to jail. Who knows for how long. You can imagine how his wife felt about that, his wife Kathy. They have, at this point, they have three daughters and a son. And before he leaves, he asks the officers if he can sit down and have family devotions. So there's a plug right there for family worship, for all of those moms and dads who, you know, struggle to sit down and sing a hymn, read a scripture, and pray as a family. And it's not easy. You know, think about Bruce Hunt about to be arrested. And what does he do? Well, he says, here's my family. Here's my wife. We're going to have devotions before we leave. And they let him have family devotions. So you've got these police officers in the Hunt's home, and they're all sitting around, and they have their family devotions. And wouldn't you know, I can't confirm this, Chris, but by my best guess, he says in the book, Bruce Hunt mentions that they sang Psalm 46. What better psalm to sing when you're about to be arrested and taken off to prison, right?
Praise God.
And I thought it was interesting as an American, because, you know, this is obviously he loves the Korean people. He loves his brothers and sisters in Christ in Korea. But I just thought it was so interesting as an American. You know, Bruce Hunt eventually does come back and live and retire in America. He passed away in 1992. So he lived to a ripe old age. But here's their family sitting down having devotions, surrounded by these police officers in a part of the country that was occupied by Japan. And they're singing Psalm 46. And I looked up, and I'm pretty sure the tune that they sang to was called Materna. And to most of your audience, that probably – it didn't really ring a bell for me. But then when I looked it up and I played it, I thought, wow, that is so interesting. So the tune that they sang – most likely sang Psalm 46 too, sounded something like this. And I don't know how this is going to come across, so bear with me. Da 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 da
da da da da da da. Wow.
So the tune that they're singing, Psalm 46 too, is Oh Beautiful, for Spacious Skies. America the Beautiful, right? I just thought that was a very interesting note, you know, reading this story as an American and considering some of the international dynamics at play here. But and I think all of us, many of us, we love our country. We are very patriotic, and that's not a bad thing. But it was a reminder to me as I considered his story. Here's this, you know, American, part of the most powerful nation on earth, but serving as a missionary and a part of the world where that meant very little because there were other people in charge. But he was serving the King of Kings. And he was always perfectly protected and kept by him. So he's arrested. He is transferred to a couple different locations and prisons. And he experiences, you know, the hardships of prison life. He's in isolation. At the beginning, he's in kind of like a group situation. He's kind of just in a big cell with many people. It's crowded. But, you know, you can imagine the conditions. It wasn't very clean. The food is terrible. And as someone who loves food, that's the part of the story that really gets to me. How do you, you know, you can, most people can go like a couple of days or something like that without a good meal, but to be in prison with no expectation of proper nutrition for a while, that really will weigh on you, right? So he experiences during his imprisonment, solitary confinement, food deprivation, and that starts to break you down. But Bruce Hunt, he develops a routine, and he's doing like exercises. He's singing all the hymns that he knows. He even wrote a song in prison with a nickel that he had in his pocket. And he's doing everything he can to pray and to even minister to others in prison. But it's hard. And I think it's a reminder that, you know, we need to be preparing ourselves and being good stewards. You know, of course, not all of us are going to be missionaries, and very few of us are going to be called to experience what Bruce Hunt did, obviously. But, you know, it's a reminder to be faithful in every regard, because by God's grace, Bruce Hunt persevered, but he also was doing things leading up to his imprisonment. He knew the scriptures. He knew the hymns. He had things in his heart that he was able to recall. And obviously we believe by the power of the Holy Spirit too. So he's in prison and he's has no idea. He's arrested on October 22nd. And he has no idea how long it's going to be. He gets transferred to a couple different places. And then finally in early December, 1941, at the point where he's basically expecting to be in prison for, you know, months, if not years, he's brought before seven Japanese judges. And he's finally told what he's arrested for. And it's for violating the law for control of religions. And part of the just really short summary here of the context of what's going on, the Japanese are enforcing emperor worship and a number of other things. They were really putting the screws to the Christians and the churches and the missionaries. And they said no one could preach, for example, without a government permit. That kind of reminded me of the 17th century England. You know, you had men like John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And, so very different part of the world, different century. But what is the government doing? They're trying to control the worship of God's people and the preaching of the word. So finally, they're brought before the judges, and they're told you're violating the law for control of religions. You know, you're gathering without permits. People aren't worshiping the emperor. And guess what the first question the judge asked him was?
I couldn't even guess.
The first question the judge asked, isn't this really incredible? The first question he asked was, do you believe the serpent tempted Eve in the garden?
Wow. So he had these private curiosities about the Bible and decided to ask that question.
Yeah, so that's basically the summary. What you just said is really captures what happens in this encounter with these judges. The judges had obviously read the Bible. Some of them, they were very educated, and they knew, various parts of the scriptures. So they ask him about, do you believe, you know, they're asking about the supernatural facts of the scriptures.
And we have to pick up where you left off there, brother, so when we return... Pick up right where you left off, because we have to go to our midway break. Please be patient with us, folks. It's the longer break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize this program and all of their programming geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other things that are local. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please write down as much of the information that our advertisers provide as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully contact our advertisers. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you, also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather. making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether it be for the Christmas season, whether it be for Valentine's Day coming up shortly after that, whether it be for wedding anniversaries, marriage celebrations, baptism celebrations, birthdays, retirement celebrations. We could go on and on with reasons why you would normally purchase gifts. Well, please go to solid-ground-books.com. And you're not only going to be doing the folks for whom you are purchasing gifts a favor by purchasing them from solid-ground-books.com, and you're not only going to be doing yourself a favor if you're replenishing your own library, and you're not only going to be helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio continue to exist, since the Solid Ground Christian Books is one of our most important advertisers, you may be used of God by leading those in your life who are lost to Christ, because God has very often used for centuries good, solid Christian books that are biblically based and Christ-centered and gospel-focused to lead the lost to Christ. So go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently, purchase generously, and include both the saved and the lost in your gift-giving list from solid-ground-books.com. They bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Always make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Pastor Jeremy Brandenburg, of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and our discussion on Bruce Hunt, early 20th century, second generation Orthodox Presbyterian missionary to Korea. We have a couple of very important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show, and I know that thousands of you do, judging from the number of people who download programs, recordings of our programs off of our website, tens of thousands of you every month, because of the fact that that is occurring, you must enjoy this program. So therefore, if you want us to continue to exist, please, I'm urging you to help us out financially. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or a credit card in that fashion. We have never bounced back from the coronavirus hysteria and the unconstitutional mandates that subsequently arose from not only local governments, but the federal government. It simultaneously reflected in a plummeting of giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that plummeting seems to have remained the same. We have not done a reversal of that yet. We are still barely receiving a handful of people and churches donating to us monthly. So please, if you want us to exist, please help us out financially by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you prefer mailing in a physical check to a physical address, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, a business, a professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, whether or not it's a special event that you want to promote, as long as whatever it is you are desiring to promote is compatible with what we believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, well, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have helped many people all over the world find churches, sometimes even within minutes of their own home, that are theologically sound, and I may be able to help you too. Send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line if indeed you are in need of a church, or someone you love is in need of a church, a good solid church anywhere on the planet Earth. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jeremy Brandenburg on Bruce Hunt, early 20th century, second generation Orthodox Presbyterian missionary to Korea. Of course, the question could be on missions in general. It could be on Reformed theology. It could be on the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination. Send us that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you could pick up where you left off, Jeremy.
Sure. I'll also just mention that you mentioned one of your advertisers, Solid Ground Books. It was interesting to me. You know, we're talking about the OPC. I'm OPC. We're talking about Bruce Hunt. I'm sure many of your audience know of the founder of the OPC, J. Gresham Machen. It's Christmas time, and I was looking up some information on his book, The Virgin Birth of Christ, and I think Solid Ground Books is the publisher of that book. So if you want to get Machen's book on the virgin birth of Christ, you got to get the Solid Grounds copy.
Great. That's solid-ground-books.com.
So we left off with, you know, Bruce Hunt had been in prison for about 2 months. It's early December 1941. And here he is before the judges. He's charged with basically violating this law for the control of religions because they're meeting without a permit, and they're not supposed to. And it's also worth pointing out, Chris, that they weren't just trying to, you know, I know people have a lot of faithful Christians have very different views about the civil government and how we interact with them and what we're supposed to do. And Bruce Hunt, for his part, the missionaries he was working with, they had petitioned the government in advance of some of these laws being passed that, hey, if you do this, we can't comply because you're basically usurping the authority of God in our lives. We talk about the keys of the kingdom and the spiritual charter of the church. You know, when the government tries to take over worship, preaching, teaching the Bible, administering, you know, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and deciding who is a pastor and who's a church member, that's when church leaders need to say, no, you can't do that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And, you can go this far and you may go no farther. But all that to say is that Bruce Hunt and those he was working with were taking pains to establish that they were good citizens. They were not there to be a disruptive influence. They were orderly. They were civil. Their churches were people who, you know, by and large were lawful, law-abiding people seeking to honor God and the civil government. And it was really important because one of the things, it's going to mention two things about this this encounter with the judges, this interaction. It was really important that they had their character and their reputation to stand on, because one of the things that they were challenged with by the judges was, well, you know, and remember, there's a lot of other Christians in this part of the world at that time. There's other churches, there's other missionaries, there's different Korean Christian denominations and groups. And one of the things that they were challenged with at this kind of pseudo trial was, well, there's other Christians who are bowing at the shrines. Why don't you guys bow at the shrines? And I think those of us who like to think of ourselves as, you know, we talk about in the OPC, Machen's Warrior Children, which is both a use both pejoratively and positively. I like to use it in a positive sense. Those of us who like to think of ourselves as, you know, being zealous and earnest and wanting to fight the good fight. Yeah, there are going to be Christians who disagree about the time and the ways to resist the government and to stand up for our faith. And there's going to be serious disagreements that are going to set us at odds with other believers, and those different stances are going to be apparent to those outside. So in Manchuria and in where Bruce Hunt was, it was obvious to the governing officials, okay, hey, there's people, you guys are saying you believe in Christ, you're Christians, and you can't bow to the shrines. Well, why are these other Christians bowing to the shrines? My position would be nobody should have been bowing to the shrines. As a faithful believer, that's an act of idolatry. It's a violation of the second commandment. So there's, you know, that's something that that was thrown in their face. And they were challenged with. The other way that the judge challenged him, which, you know, when I read this in seminary, I obviously read the whole book and it really left a deep impact. But when I reread this recently in preparation for using it, talking about it in a sermon, when I read this portion, it really struck a nerve because it made me think about, you know, sadly, a lot of the ways that I think Christians use scripture against one another during the COVID pandemic, because this is what the judge, can you believe it? The judge actually challenged Bruce Hunt and said, you know, you're actually not obeying God and you're not obeying scripture, because the Bible says that everyone is to be subject to the higher powers. And he started quoting from Romans 13. To Bruce Hunt. So imagine, you know, put yourself in the missionary's shoes. Here you are before a Japanese judge being, imprisoned for violating their laws and their ordinances. And then he says, yeah, and you're actually a bad Christian because you're not obeying the Bible. Now, you know, Bruce Hunt came back and said, no, you have to read that whole passage, because the whole passage says that the ruling authorities are there to punish evil and reward those who do good. And, you know, he went on to defend their conduct and what they were doing, and say that, you know, we have to submit to God. We don't submit absolutely and without any qualification to the government. So there's all this back and forth, and you asked the question earlier, Chris, about Bruce Hunt's testimony. And it's very interesting because, like I said, this is not a formal trial. It's an interview. It's an encounter with these judges, but it morphs into this, you know, basically apologetical encounter contest for Bruce Hunt and the missionaries. They're having to defend the Christian faith, and they end up talking about the end times, and then they really kind of have this back and forth over the fact of the resurrection. And the judge, I think, asks him, how can you believe in something like that? And he goes on to defend the resurrection. And I don't think any of the judges came to faith that day, but what's really amazing is that after Bruce Hunt goes through all of this and he's talking about basically laying out the gospel and the exclusivity of the claims of Christ and what the Bible says about the resurrection, he looks around and he sees that his interpreter is sitting there. Who's a Korean. His interpreter is a Korean, and he's sitting there and his mouth is wide open. Like he's just aghast. He's just amazed. He's in awe of what Bruce Hunt is saying and how he's defending the Christian faith. And he actually says to him, you know, later that was wonderful. And I've never heard someone speak that way. Apparently even his parents were Christians, but he's never thought much of it. And Bruce Hunt ended up sharing about his own conversion. He was raised a missionary. He lived in the church. He lived the missionary kid life. But it wasn't until he was 19 that he actually was regenerated by the Holy Spirit and came to trust in Christ Himself and to, you know, experience the converting power of the Holy Spirit. So he said that it wasn't until he was 19 that he came to faith and really began to take hold of the Lord Himself and to believe. So yeah, that was his experience. What ended up happening was they had a suspended, not a suspended sentence, but a suspended judgment. They were released from prison. And so this is just like December 4, 1941. And we all know what.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was just going to say that you answered one of our listener questions. Arnie in Perry County said, excuse me for tuning in late, but was his wife arrested with him? So you're saying they, I'm assuming you meant his wife as well, was arrested and imprisoned.
No, so his wife, Kathy Hunt, was not arrested with Bruce Hunt for some reason.
Oh, okay.
They let her stay, maybe because of their children. But there was another missionary couple with him, and they were arrested together.
That couple, both the husband and wife, were arrested?
Yes, the Byrams.
Okay, pick up where you left off.
So they're released, they're given this suspended judgment and basically, you know, told, you know, don't, you know, we're going to be watching you and don't, you know, don't break the laws again. But then they're brought before these military officers, these Japanese military officers, and they're told, you know, you go back to America and tell them how great Japan is. Well, lo and behold, war breaks out and the Japanese, you kind of wonder if this Japanese officer had a clue or had some understanding that the Japanese were about to attack Pearl Harbor, because they get this suspended sentence and it seems like, okay, we're going to live in this limbo, this state of limbo wondering, you know, are we going to be able to do ministry and lead the church and preach and all this? And then war breaks out, and they end up. So what ends up happening is Bruce Hunt is arrested again, and he doesn't go into detail about this in the book, and I wish he would have. But he's actually sent to a concentration camp for a short time, and then about 6 months later, in June of 1941. That would be June of 1942, I guess. He is he's reunited with his family, and then they're sent back to the United States through Africa in a prisoner exchange that's orchestrated through, you know, the diplomatic channels. And he's back in the States, and eventually he does come back to Korea, but not for several years until after the war.
Okay, we'll take some listener questions. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, wouldn't you say that the very thing you are discussing today annihilates the arguments by anti-Calvinists that our theology is antithetical to missions? Here you have a man willing to be arrested more than one time for his faith, and he did not just say, que sera, sera, God will save whom he will save. He knew that he had to obey Christ in being an evangelist and a missionary, that God uses means to bring about his saving purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he is a great example of, and not just Bruce Hunt, but the others with him. And, you know, even the way, Chris, that they went about discipleship in Korea, these guys were Presbyterian. Like I said, they had sessions, they kept records and minutes, and, you know, they were all about decency and good order in the church. So these were, you know, these were dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterians. But they were also fervent evangelists. They were also very zealous in discipleship. So I think their, you know, biblical reformed convictions about the sovereignty of God and salvation is really what bolstered them and upheld them. You know, think about being in prison for the gospel and, you know, enduring all of these things. How do you persevere through that? Well, it's through the power of Christ and also just believing that all of these things are in God's hands and that he is the one who's sovereignly in control of your life and all of the believers that you're called to minister to. So
we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who said, in addition to the very solid churches in Korea that uphold the Reformed faith, I know that there is also, sadly, quite a number of extreme charlatan Pentecostal works there. I'm not talking about the very God-honoring folks that many of us know who are in the Pentecostal and charismatic camps, but I'm talking about the extreme versions of the Word of Faith movement and the insanity that goes on in some of the wings of the Pentecostal and charismatic movements that have really taken root in Korea. I was wondering if you knew anything about percentage-wise, who has more of a stronghold there in Korea, the Reformed witness or this fringe Pentecostal group?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that with any substantial knowledge, but I would. The only thing I can say is that I know that there, over the course of the history of the Presbyterian and Reformed Church in Korea, there were several splits, and so you know, my own denomination, we're fairly small within the camp of American Reformed and Presbyterian churches, and I think it's a similar dynamic. There's a whole spectrum of churches in Korea, and I can't speak in detail to what the questioner is asking, but I would surmise that they're the minority. They're in the minority in Korea.
Which one?
The Reformed.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's sad. Because wasn't there a time when they were dominating the Christian scene there?
Yeah, I think there was. But my guess is that today they're just kind of one part of the overall landscape of the evangelical church. They're apparently the biggest church in the world is in Korea, or at least that's what I was told several years ago. There are some really huge kind of broad evangelical churches in Korea, but I think the Reformed and Presbyterian churches is a minority within that big, you know, evangelical camp.
We have Christopher, Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher says, I don't know if you know anything about Japan, but I was wondering why Japan has such a tiny percentage of Christians there, and the other Asian nations, even those that are very harsh against Christianity due to communism and other factors, are flourishing, and even if the underground movement, but Japan seems to be almost a desolate wasteland when it comes to the Christian faith. Do you have any ideas? Have you ever heard of anybody with knowledge explaining this to you?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I have the same question myself, because even in my very limited familiarity with the church in Japan, I have a friend from seminary who's a missionary in Japan, and the OPC has affiliations with some folks who are missionaries in Japan, but it is a very, very difficult country in terms of Christian outreach and gospel witness. So
that is strange, because there's no persecution that I know of there against Christians.
Right.
And it's very bizarre. In fact, years ago when I was broadcasting out of WNYG Radio in Babylon, Long Island, a woman from Japan who listened to the program wrote to me thanking me for a program I did exposing the heresies and lies of the Mooney cult. She said that she was led to Christ out of the Moonies through listening to and reading the works of my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And she was involved in an arranged marriage with the Mooney cult, and after she and her husband left that cult, they remained married, but she was lamenting that they could not find a biblically based church anywhere near them, even remotely near them, and the only thing that was available to them was a Roman Catholic church, and she did not feel at all comfortable going to that church, and I wouldn't recommend that she go to that church either. So it is a shame.
Yeah, and it's not for lack of sending missionaries. I mean, there have been many missionaries from for a long period of time who've gone to Japan, but it is for whatever reason, in the Lord's wisdom, it is it's a very difficult country, and it's, yeah, like you said, not openly hostile. And I mean, there was persecution. There were actually originally some, I believe it was Jesuit missionaries who were killed in Japan. And there's, you know, a lot that's been written about that, even a movie that was produced recently.
Yeah, I saw the movie. I think it was called The Missionary, if I'm not mistaken, but that was quite a while ago.
Right. But in recent times, there's, you know, it's not a country that's persecuting the church. Even in Bruce Hunt's time, Christianity was an officially recognized religion along with Shintoism and Buddhism. But it's almost like just a kind of apathy towards the Christian faith.
Now, where did Bruce Hunt spend the final years of his life? Was he still in Korea? Was he here in the United States?
So he, I can't give you a really detailed breakdown, but I know that he died in the United States in 1992. So he did end up retiring and coming back to the U.S.
Well, he wouldn't have been really coming back to the U.S. because that's not where he was born.
Well, yeah, from our perspective, coming back home, but you're right.
And we have to go to our final break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Jeremy Brandenburg, our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeremy Brandenburg right after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Welcome back. Moments ago, you heard an ad for one of our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. They just experienced a loss. A family member has gone on to glory, to spend eternity with Christ. And for Christians, that's always a bittersweet experience. It could be traumatic and just as devastating on the one hand as many people who lose loved ones outside of Christ, but at the same time, there is that blessing of knowing that that person is spending an eternity with Christ, and that they would not trade places with any of us at all. So Well, at the same time, as I said, this is a time of mourning and grief, and I would appreciate it if you would extend your condolences to the folks at cvbbs.com and tell them that you are praying for them as they journey into this period of mourning and sadness and grief after losing a precious loved one at cvbbs.com. We have a statement, not a question, from someone who has been a guest on this program and a co-host, Charlie Liebert, who is the founder of SixDayCreation.com. He says, and he's responding to our brief discussion on Japan and why there are so few biblically sound Christians and Christian churches in Japan. That was something that a listener had brought up in a question. And Charlie says, the Japan problem is a culture steeped in ancestor worship, which throws up big barriers. Well, I'm sure that is a part of the problem, but for some reason, in God's sovereignty, those barriers are overcome in places like Africa, who has some very bizarre religions of their own there, idolatrous and false religions, and yet there are nations within the continent of Africa that are thriving with a Christian witness. I don't know if you have anything further to add to that, Pastor Jeremy.
I don't, other than to say hi, Charlie, and thanks for the comment.
Okay, Charlie, I hope you're enjoying the program. I want you, before I take any other listener question, I want you to have several minutes uninterrupted so you can summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about our topic, and even bring up things that you wanted to say that we have not yet addressed about this great missionary of church history.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. One thing I wanted to say was how it's very touching that Bruce Hunt, in his preface to the book, he's very humble, and he speaks of those who were in prison with him, and he mentions a couple folks by name who ended up dying in prison. And he also mentions those who, after Korea split and the North was communist and the South was free and open, there were those Christians, those Korean Christians who decided to, they had the opportunity to leave, but they stayed in North Korea. Many of them hoping that the period of communism would be short-lived. Well, it's almost 2023 here, and the North Korea is still very much a totalitarian state, extremely hostile to the Christian faith and the church. And he says many of those Christians died. These are the kind of folks that you think of the scriptures, they're the kind of folks that really, I think, fit the characterization in Hebrews of those of whom the world was not worthy. You know, Bruce Hunt, I think he recognizes he was blessed. He was fortunate. God enabled him to serve for many years, and then he was able to come back and write about the believers that he loved and taught and discipled. And he writes with deep gratitude. And I think it's a reminder, what I would want every listener to be reminded of is the need to realize our place in the body of Christ, that we're all united together by faith. We're one people. We rejoice together, and we should weep together. And, you know, reading these kind of stories and thinking on the church in Korea and the things that have happened there in the past should make you think of things that are going on now in other parts of Asia and parts of Africa. We actually had a missionary, and not a missionary, but we learned of in our denomination, someone in an African country in Eastern Africa who was imprisoned and was put to death for his faith. So, you know, I would want all of us to continue to pray for the persecuted church, pray for believers in hard places, and also to consider how is God moving in your life, and how is he empowered you and equipped you to serve where you are and to support and pray for missionaries. Maybe you're not called to go, but you can pray for those who are going. And, you know, since we're on the topic of missions, one other thing I would say is just that we all should consider our call. And, yeah, we need more missionaries. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up men and women to go and serve in difficult places.
Now, let's just say someone in your own congregation asks to meet with you, and this person says, I have a burden on my heart to be a missionary, and he may pick a foreign country. He may not. He may just say he'll go where he is sent. But what would be things that you and your fellow elders would look for in a member of the church that you think would make them qualified for such a huge step in their lives? There may be people who have a romantic understanding of missionary work. They've never even left the shores of this country, and maybe just have a vivid imagination that has been fueled by stories they've heard and movies they've seen, and we could go on and on, but they may be totally unqualified, and they may be the last person that you would want to send as an ambassador for Christ anywhere, even next door, perhaps, rather let alone overseas. So what would be some of the qualifications that you would be looking for?
I think the primary thing is faith, and is this a person who really knows and loves the Lord deeply and truly, and are they active in the church now? Are they seeking to serve? Are they desiring to grow in their faith? There's many things that we would think of as qualifications for mission work, and I'll share just one really quick story about William Blair, the co-author with Bruce Hunt of that book, The Creed of Pentecost. He said that the missionary, Reverend Moffat, came to his school where he was studying and challenged him very seriously about taking the call to mission seriously. And he thought, well, I can't do this. I can't learn the languages. And that's really not a priority, because, yes, you have to have some aptitude, but really the primary thing is faith. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love him? Do you want to serve him? All those other things are important. But what I would look for most of all is someone whose heart and mind are totally devoted and submitted to the Lord.
Well, I would assume that there might be other factors, such as someone who relies too heavily on what they call creature comforts, that might disqualify him from being sent out. But somebody who is known for his love of earthly possessions, that all these kinds of things that might indicate that they wouldn't fare well overseas, unless they are being somehow lavished with luxury in the nation where they are sent. But if you follow what I'm saying, there could be other factors involved.
Yes, I agree. I think those things are all should come into play, but I'll give you a military analogy, a military comparison. So it's been said by many and observed by many that on the battlefield, oftentimes those officers and soldiers who are most intense and most serious in training scenarios, you get to the battlefield and they wither. So sometimes the people who make the best missionaries appear on the surface to be the least qualified and the least capable to go and serve.
Interesting. Well, I want to make sure our listeners have your website for Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's redeemeropc.org, redeemeropc.org. I want to thank you for doing such a wonderful job today, Pastor Jeremy. Look forward to your return to the program. I also look forward to having another time of face-to-face fellowship with you at some point in the future. I think the last time we did that was at the Banner of Truth Conference in Elizabethtown,
right,
Pennsylvania. And I hope that something comes up by the providence of God where we can share a meal soon and share a good time of fellowship and even some laughs.
I look forward to that too, and thanks so much for having me on.
And once again, that's RedeemerOPC.org, RedeemerOPC.org. And also, remember the book by J. Gresham Machen on Christmas that Pastor Jeremy mentioned. Remember to go to solid-ground-books.com and order that book, perhaps even multiple copies to give out as gifts. That's solid-ground-books.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to thank everybody who listened today. I hope you all have a safe and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.